Well, welcome to Midtown 12 South. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Being able to gather together with folks, feel a little less isolated is always fun. It's also fun because we're not going to do a sermon today, so you're welcome. Here's why. Midtown is a network of churches called the Midtown Movement. There's six congregations that meet all throughout the city. And one of the like fun things that we do, it's fun if you're a dork pastor, you probably don't care, is that we start our sermon series all at the same time. And this kind of allows like all the pastors to talk through what we're preaching on the coming Sunday. It allows like all of our small groups to kind of stay on the same rhythm and pattern. And while we get to meet this morning, we had no 10 a.m. service because Metro is not letting folks in their schools. And so there's two of our campuses that meet in schools, so they couldn't start today. And so we decided, we're going to punt the beginning of our new series, which is going to be through the book of John, which we're going to be in for like 50 years. That's coming up soon. It's going to be a long one, so you know, drink some Gatorade. So we're going to start that next week. And so we still wanted to gather, obviously, because we need it. And we also wanted to make sure we could serve communion. And we decided this, that being together and giving you the opportunity to sing to the Lord, to hear from Scripture read, to remind ourselves what our hearts tend to forget, which is the Lord hasn't forgotten us. Because while this storm, I don't know why it caught people off guard, probably because we can't predict the weather. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus knows about storms. He's not afraid of storms. He's the one who causes them to blow. He's the one who tells them to stop. If we know Mark chapter 4 is the story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes on their boat. Jesus stands up and tells it to stop. Now, I don't get paid enough to pretend to know why Jesus didn't stop ice from hitting us. Don't even know that that matters as much. But I do know that if you know the story of Mark 4, if you spent any time around church, you've heard it. That Jesus loads up these disciples, puts them in a boat, sends them across the sea, and then that storm hits. And what's unsaid in that is that Jesus knew a storm was going to hit. He knows it all. He knows everything, right? And so he still led them into that. And the disciples come up, water's crashing into the boat. They're furious. Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's asleep on a cushion. And I was like, is that what's happening here? The third day without power. I'm like, Jesus, are you on a warm cushion sleeping somewhere? And do you know what's going on down here? The disciples go to him. They like shake him, wake him up, and they scream at him. It's a wild story. They scream at him, don't you care that we're about to die? Jesus, it's bad. And you're back here asleep. And I'll confess to you as your pastor and some of your friends, my heart this week was yelling. It still is. I felt that. At one point, it was like the first day and went out and I was still in like pioneer mode. I'm like, we can do this. We got this. What's 4 inches of ice? It doesn't matter. And here was my bright idea. I have a truck, not to brag, and I was like, I'm going to run an extension cord from my truck into the house to power this griddle that I got for my wedding, and I'm going to boil some water on it because you always need hot water in a storm. And y'all, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. I have a wife who is wonderful. My wife was out like making sure people had food, and I was like, I'm making sure we can boil water. Like, we're doing the same thing. And as I'm running the extension cord into my house, I fall down. I get up, I immediately fell again. I mean, barely got 10 toes on the ground, and it happened again. I could have melted the ice with the cuss words coming out of my mouth. And I'm dragging this cord through my house, through the front door. Every bit of warm air we have is escaping. And my in-laws, the day before, had said, you can come stay at our house if you need to. They're empty nesters, have a hole upstairs. They're like, come crash at our house. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that, Don. I'm riding this thing out. Like, I don't need you to do that. I spent more time, y'all, pulling an extension cord in my house, falling and trying to pull it again, than it would have taken to drive to their house. They live 15 minutes away from me. And as all that was happening, here's what was really happening inside my heart of hearts. I was so mad that I had to be dependent on something else. I hated it. I hate that I had to be dependent on a power grid that I have no control over. And I can use all the excuses. People are yelling at NES. We're all saying the same thing. We pay our bills. Why isn't this working? It's like, well, there's a storm, okay? And I'm yelling. I'm so mad about this. But what I'm really mad about is I have this grand delusion in the middle of all this that I was like, if I could just have chickens and I could have my own eggs and then I could cook those, I'll save rainwater. Should have been saving for a whole home generator, I guess. If I can do all of this stuff and make sure that I never have to suffer, and I can make sure that I don't have to be dependent on a grid, I don't have to be dependent on my father-in-law, I can just do all of this myself. And it took a 7-degree night to show me, a 7-degree night plus snot sickles on my 2-year-old's nose. I was like, I think we have to get out of here. And I was like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. The disciples came to Jesus. Jesus, don't you care that I'm about to die? Don't you care? When we got to the warm house of my in-laws, that, you know, Wi-Fi and all that, when I got to their house upstairs, it's like time for bed, and I'm singing to my 2-year-old. I'm singing Jesus Loves Me to her. But in my toddler heart, I was like, he doesn't. He doesn't. Because if he did, I'd be home. Or if he did, I'd live in San Diego where I had to worry about this. And Jesus, in this story, he wakes up, he rebukes the wind, and he turns to the disciples. After he tells the wind, peace be still, the storm stops. He turns to the disciples and he asks them a question. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? What are you trusting in? What are you trusting in to really sustain you? What am I trusting in to really hold me when all the rest of things fall apart? When it's all frozen. And nothing was more frozen than my heart in that moment. What was I putting my faith in? What was I trusting? And the disciples then turn to each other at the end of the story and they ask this question. Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? What Mark is wanting us to see is that the fear that they had from the storm kind of transfers to the fear of the guy that's in the boat with them. Because they're no longer afraid of the storm crashing because this guy can make it stop. But if he can make it stop, then what else can he do? And if he can make it stop, could he make the storm inside of me stop? And if he could stand up and say, peace be still, could it be possible that he could quiet our hearts too? Now, I know that we have all types represented here. Some of you never lost power, Rich. Some of you don't have it yet. Some of you have people just crashing in your house. And what storms like this show us is that it just rattles the foundation of everything that we hold dear. It rattles the foundation of everything that we thought would make us safe. Because as they're screaming at Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Here's what they were really screaming. Jesus, I'm awfully scared right now. And I don't know what to do. And Jesus, just as he said to the storm out there, says to the storm that rages within them and rages within us, be still. Be still. Bring your anxieties to me. Bring your cares to me. Bring those moments that you wish you were more prepared, bring them to me. Bring the anger that you have toward Aeneas botching this whole thing, bring it to me. And because what does it benefit you? What does it benefit any of us if our house is warm but our hearts are frozen? Jesus asked that question. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What is Mark wanting us to know in this story? It's this. Jesus when we think he might be asleep, that's probably the place where he is working harder than anything else. When we think he's asleep, he's really working. He's working to restore the power supply in our hearts to be connected to the transforming power of his grace.